Well, today we do start our Beatitudes series. We're going to go through each Beatitude. Some say either 8, other 9, other 10, 12. We're going to focus on 8 through our series. They're found in Matthew 5, 1 through 3. This is actually the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. And he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Our series title is the Happy Are series, or the Blessed Are. And today's message is simply, happy you are the poor in spirit. So let's pray together. God, we do come before you today. We thank you that we are forgiven in the name of Jesus. And we have all sinned greatly against you. And none of us are truly worthy to come into your presence, but you have made us worthy in Christ because he has covered us. We thank you that we can come to you through him now. And we thank you for your word that today we can have that next level of grace, that we can move, not just hear about grace, but grow in it. We pray that we can do that today. And I know me, I'm surely an imperfect vessel here, but we know your perfect word can speak right where it needs to. And we thank you for it, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the reason we chose this series today wasn't just like, oh, it's time for a series, might as well just pick the Beatitudes, or it wasn't just a random series to pick, but actually because this one, it was with intent, because the Beatitudes, they're not necessarily, in the Sermon on the Mount in whole even, it's not necessarily a law so much to abide by, but more of a reflection of how we should look as Christians. What the kingdom of heaven is to look like. And during this series, there should be times, not when we say, "Oh, this is really good for that guy over down at the end of the pew, or that person over there in my life," right? But there should be times where we see where we're lacking, where we are lacking. And this is not to beat us down. Because we know the enemy, he'll take our past, or when he deals with our sin that we have in our lives, he'll try to use it to discourage us and to beat us down. But we know that the Holy Spirit, he speaks of sin as well, because he wants to get rid of it. He wants us to grow in grace and our knowledge of God. And so I pray that as we may get uncomfortable during this series, that we understand that, and the Spirit will get specific so that we can grow. Not to beat us down, but you know he's the encourager, right? Yeah, to encourage us to grow in the faith. And so, like I said, we should feel a little uncomfortable at times during this series because none of us can perfectly live out the Sermon on the Mount or the Beatitudes themselves. We all can grow because what we're pretty much going to do is we're going to have a perfect stick that we're going to look at and see where our crooked stick, you know, needs to change a little bit. Like I said, this is the beginning. It starts out the Sermon on the Mount, and this is the greatest sermon, by the way, ever preached, right? Because from the greatest preacher that ever preached, Jesus himself, the Word made flesh. And as we do look at this, I would like to imagine as if Jesus was just speaking to his 12 disciples. The passage says there was the crowd. But then it says he goes up on a mountainside and he speaks to his disciples. So I like for us to imagine that it's his disciples in a way going through, I guess you'd say, a formal training to be whether apostles or disciples, right? I had to go to seminary 3.5 years, maybe a little bit longer. Most people, 3.5 years. I think mine was 4.5. I liked seminary. It was fun, but challenging, of course, too. But I like to see this as Jesus having a seminary, an intense, maybe 2-week seminar in a way, preparing his guys. And they weren't just helpers, but these were disciples. What does disciple mean? Learner, student, follower of whatever the rabbi's teaching, right? And so I see this as him really getting them ready, getting his guys ready as not just to hear the formal teaching, but to later see it, to see the informal teaching, because Jesus taught mostly his disciples informally, right? They just watched what he did as he fleshed out the word of God, how he responded to life. But this, it is still important to have that formal teaching for him to share it, to say, speak of the kingdom of heaven. And so let's think of this as, you know, something that not to intend to condemn us, but something to draw us into something greater. Because that's the intent, God's intent. Not to make us feel bad, but to see where we can know God even more and be more like him. Like I think I've mentioned a couple weeks ago, the Beatitudes, we look at them, if you look at them as a whole, it's like there's a progression. And the very first one, like a progression in the grace and the knowledge of God and in faith. The very first one is blessed are the poor in spirit. That's what we're looking at today. If we look at this little chart, I'm sorry, it might be kind of small there. I didn't give Jenna much to work with. But the very first one, there you go, this is quick. Very first one, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And as we do look at this progression here, we got to remember, you know, being in the kingdom, and this as it's not based on age, right? Because we can grow old in the faith, but not grow up, right? And our spiritual birthdays don't tell us how long we've been on, how far we've traveled the road. They just tell us how long we've been on the road. But then we see this, we can kind of look at this and see, like, well, where do I need to mature in this progression? But like I said, the first one, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Very good reason why this is the very first one. Because before we even, you're not going to experience all the other until you're in the kingdom. And you can't get into the kingdom unless you become poor in spirit, unless you are aware of your great need for Jesus. To be poor in spirit, I'm not talking about financially or materially. This is seeing that I can't earn heaven on my own. I can't earn kingdom of God on what's in me. I need someone to come in and intervene. That's Jesus. So that's why it's the very first one. That's entry into the kingdom of God. And then the next one, as we see, is blessed are those who mourn. So you get to the point where it's not just, I'm in the kingdom now, but now I'm mourning over my sin, whether it's past or present. But we are comforted because our sins are atoned for in Christ. And then after that would be meekness. And we often, meekness is looked at as weakness, but it's not. It is a great strength, a humble, gentle, strong spirit that the Spirit has reins over. Think of reins like on a horse, directing it. Meek is to be sensitive to the Spirit and submissive to God. It's really, it's a great strength where, I guess for lack of a better song, Jesus take the wheel in the way. Don't start singing it now, Dan. He does that sometimes in his office, by the way. But anyhow, this is where Jesus does take the wheel, and you're meek because he's guiding. He's guiding now, and once he does steer, we see it's not just away from the punishment, but really the power. Not the punishment of our sins, but the power of sin over us currently in our life. So therefore we hunger. We hunger now for righteousness. Not righteousness so much out in the world, but righteousness in my own heart. That I want it, God, I can't take it, this, the things I'm thinking, the things I'm doing, my own unrighteousness. You have a hunger. You want to be righteous. You want to live for God, have a desire for the things of God. But the good news is, if you hunger for righteousness, what? Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So if you're hungry for righteousness, expect to be filled. And once you are filled, now you're saying, man, this is awesome, right? Might not be easy, but it is surely good. I see running after God, that's the best thing I can do. So therefore, I'm no longer running after the things of the world, which Jesus does mention about in the next chapter in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6. Don't run after the things of the world like the pagans do, right? But do what? Seek first what? The kingdom of God. So you get to that point where you're not worried about how you look before others or what you have materially, but your greatest concern, what makes the decision for you at the end of the day, does this further the kingdom of God? So I have that desire, and I'm running after God, and therefore, when my eyes are on what's pure, I'm focused on God. And I think that's kind of why the psalm we read today, and David also wrote, come magnify the Lord with me. When we magnify the Lord, we're putting our focus on him, and therefore we can see him. All of a sudden, we're seeing him more in our lives, seeing him work more in our lives. So as my eyes are, I'm seeking after God, my eyes are pure, because they're set on God, I can now see his work in my life. Because I'm going in the direction he's leading me. And yes, it is true, and then one day we'll actually see him face to face in heaven. Where are we at? So blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Then the next is blessed are the peacemakers, or happy are the peacemakers. And you've gotten so much, God has shaped you so much at this point, where you will do anything and everything so that others can experience peace with God as you have. Forgiveness of your sins, and you'll use any resource you have to make peace, not just with people, but make peace between people and God, bringing them to Jesus. And as you do this long enough, and God shapes us long enough, you're going to become what? You're going to be living a very righteous life, not trying to earn God's grace, but no, it's just a reflection. It's almost like you can't just hide it. You can't hide it. It's inside you. God's doing so much work at this point, you can't hold it down. You can't cover it up, and therefore the world sees it. And when the world sees it, the world gets convicted. People in our lives start to get convicted for the life we're living, the life for God. And then we know what happens after that. You know, when people are convicted, what do we do? We may persecute, or we mistreat that person, or try to make them so that we all feel better about ourselves, right? Whatever, you know, the type of persecution it might be, you know, of course, people die for their faith, for sure, for being faithful to God. But, you know, I think we face here, I mean, maybe jeers, you know, people making fun of us, or maybe you don't get invited to that party, maybe even the government will start putting restrictions on you for living out your faith and being true to the Word of God, right? So that is in a nutshell, that's the progression that we're going to look at through the series. And but today we want to put our attention on, like I said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. All right, so has anybody struggled with a disorder or known someone in their life that had a terrible disorder that really caused a lot of problems in our lives? There's a disorder in the U.S., United States here, that costs over $14 billion a year. Not million, $14 billion a year. People suffering from this disorder are 3 to 5 times more likely to have to go to the doctor, and 6 times more likely to need to be hospitalized than those that don't have the disorder. It affects 40 million adults, 18 and over. That's almost about a fifth of the population. And this is the most common mental illness in the U.S. And it's said actually, it is quite treatable, but only about a third of the people get treated for it. This disorder is known as anxiety, and the culprit is the culprit for over half of those that get sadly into depression. Which is a problem, to many other health factors as well. Now, you would think here in the United States, right, we're a people with more, right? We have, materially, I would say, we have a lot. And you would think that we would be at peace and we would be, I guess what the world might say, happy, right? But looking at the records, things aren't looking too good. A lot of anxiety, stress, depression, and sadly, suicide. Now, if the world can give us everything we needed to make us happy, and I'm not talking temporarily, but to make us have a lasting joy, if the world could give us what we needed, and you wouldn't see many celebrities dying, right, or getting overdosed, right? Who have the money, who have the fame, who have everything that the world says you need, and sadly, it looks like they're lacking a lot. Muhammad Ali, like I've said before, he's one of my favorite theologians. I'm not saying that he's not Christian, but Muhammad Ali, this statement really shows a lot to us. Really shows a lot to us. Really teaches a lot about the world. He said, "I had the world in my hands, and I tell you, it ain't much." He had the money. He had the fame. He had women eating out of his hand, and he had everything that the world says you need to be happy. But he said, "I tell you what, it's not much. I had it all right there." So we say, we think with all these things, this is going to make me happy. It's going to make me blessed. And as we see, like I said, looking at the statistics, it hasn't. We're one of the wealthiest nations, right? And a lot of people dealing with anxiety, right? Well, obviously we need biggest solution, right? We need to heed the teaching of the best preacher that ever lived, Jesus, the very Son of God. Then we'll find the answer to our greatest, all of our ills, all the problems that we face. And as we do, it's almost, I like to think of it as a nice, you know, being at the state fair, you know, maybe it's 100 degrees out, and getting that nice, fresh glass of lemonade, fresh lemonade, in the middle, and following Jesus' teaching to be, really, I guess, lay our burdens down and to be set free, to be refreshed. We need to hear the words of Jesus. Not just hear them, right? We need to do them. We need to follow them. Well, Jesus said elsewhere, he said, "Come to me, all who are what? Burden and heavy laden, and I will give you more burden." No, he says, "I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you." Yokes were heavy, right? "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." How? By being what? Gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, this should cause us to want to get hopeful. If you're in here today, maybe you are facing some anxiety. We're not here to make light of you in any way, but maybe you're here today and you're like, I don't know, I thought I had everything I needed, and I just have this deep hole inside of me, or I have this great anxiety, this depression, I can't shake it. The good news is Jesus can shake it, and he'll do more than that. Think about, abiding by his words. Think of a trainer. You go to, maybe you go to the campus, or maybe Planet Fitness, they don't know if they have trainers there, but if you have a trainer, and if they say, "Eat this, do this," right, that's not enough, right? You actually have to do it to see results, or that you have a teacher, you have the best teacher in the world. But if you're not following what they're teaching you, right, it's not going to do much. Or maybe a doctor that helps you to get healthy, gives you all this instructions, this is what you need to do, start eating this and stop eating that, or start doing this, stop doing that. But if we don't heed the advice, we're not going to reap the benefits, right? And certainly it's the same with Jesus. Jesus says, "Come to me. If you are heavy, if you are burdened and heavy laden, come to me and you'll find rest for your souls." Many types of rest, but the first one is being forgiven of our sins. The heavy weight of the punishment of our sins. You remember the story of the unmerciful servant, right? He owed a great debt that got forgiven, but he didn't forgive someone of their small debt. But it's a picture of how large of a debt we owe to God. The picture of these denarii that were owed, think of it as 8,600 bags full of dimes, each weighing 60 pounds each. Let's say if it has a bunch of Roman soldiers holding these bags, it would be about 5 miles long. Now, that's how much that servant owed his master, and it was a picture of how much we owe, how much we have sinned against God, and how much, what kind of debt we have collected every day as we sin against him. But imagine, you know, when we come to him, what a weight is taken off of, that weight of our, the punishment of our sins taken away. And as if the scales were all of a sudden balanced because of Jesus, because of his work for us. You know, that's one weight that is taken off us. But there's another one, the weight of pride, isn't it? Pride can be very heavy. And that's why we look right here at the very first beatitude. Write this one down. If we want true happiness, as God defines it, not as the world, if we want true happiness, we must realize our true helplessness. If we want true happiness, we must realize our true helplessness. See our great debt before God, and there's no way I could pay it. To be poor in spirit is to come to that realization of how much of a debt I have, and how there's no way I could pay that off. There's no way I can earn my way to God and to the kingdom of heaven. And what greater picture Jesus gives us than he brings a little child along to his disciples. He says, happy or blessed are the poor in spirit, right? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And he says also, he says, if you want to enter the kingdom, you got to become like this child. And the child is what? Fully dependent. Fully dependent on someone else. And we're fully dependent on Jesus coming through for us in his grace. But when he said happy or the poor in spirit, he's not talking about materially or financially poor. Because by the way, I mean, you could be just as in need of, you're just as in need of God being financially poor as someone who is loaded, right? And I've seen people that has plenty of resource, I guess you would say, but they have a peace with God. But then I can see those that maybe don't have as much, that are really, I guess, money in a way can be their master. Constantly thinking about, if I only had more. But so this is not talking about materially or financially, but in spirit, in our becoming poor in spirit, understanding our poverty before God. Now there's a couple words Jesus could have chosen to use to talk about poor here. Now, he first said this in Aramaic, but it was recorded in Greek. And so in the Greek, here are the word. The word that he used was tokos. Tokos, that bottom one here. There's another word in the Greek. It's penes. And that word for poor, and penes, is kind of like, I kind of think of Charlie in a chocolate factory. You know, his family didn't have a lot of money. They didn't have a lot of money for nice extra things. But they had enough money to live. They had enough just to get by. That's the kind of poor pennies is talking about. But then there's tokos, which is not having anything. Totally bankrupt, impoverished. Pennies is having nothing extra. Tokos is having nothing at all. And that's the word Jesus used, tokos. Realizing I have nothing at all. I am totally bankrupt without God, without his grace, without him intervening. I can't earn heaven in any way. And it's also a picture of someone begging in a way. That word that it stems from, tokos, that it stems from, it means to crouch and cower. Kind of like come to your knees begging. And you know, it's not the spiritual equivalent of, you know, we've seen people that have been on the road and maybe have a sign asking for a handout or asking for help. It's not the spiritual equivalent of that. No, this is someone feverishly begging for a piece of bread. And if they don't have it, they're gonna die. They can't survive without. So that's our, to be poor in spirit is to come begging, God, I can't do it unless you intervene, unless Jesus does a miracle in his grace, there's no way I can get into the kingdom. Seeing our great debt before God, being totally dependent on grace, totally dependent on grace, which is the unearned favor of God. That's why Matthew 18:3, Jesus says, And he's speaking to his disciples. He says, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven. Like I said, to be a child is to be totally dependent on somebody else. And, these guys, the context that Jesus said that, it was in his disciples were having, we obviously see they were dealing with some pride, because just the very question that they asked reveals that. They said, Jesus, who is the greatest in the kingdom? Shows that they weren't so concerned about making it into the kingdom or even being great for God in the kingdom, but it says greatest, wanting to be the best in the kingdom. That's pride. And there's no way, pride is not going to get you into the kingdom. Our good works are not going to get us into the kingdom. It is all dependent on grace. So we have to be, as we come poor in spirit, realizing how impoverished we are before God. I love that, man. What a beautiful object lesson Jesus used. He brings a little child right there. And just look at this little child and how dependent they are. They are aware of their need. They're poor in spirit, humble. Jesus said, what do you say? Learn from me, for I am gentle and what? Humble in heart. Humble in heart. You want to lay those burdens that you have? Learn from me and become like a little child. Be humble. Now, Jesus was not poor in spirit. He didn't need to be, right? He didn't know God. He didn't know God anything. But he was humble. And he leads us. This is the way to go. Be humble in heart. Get rid of that weight of the penalty of your sin, the weight of the power of your sin over you, and the weight of that pride that is just never content. As long as somebody else has more. Not until you know that you're the greatest. I mean, what a burden, right? You ever have that, have a time where you got your mind so set on something for your own selfish desire, right? I often think about, going to a restaurant after church or whatever. I want to go to Fiesta, right? Actually, Cristiano's is probably the Chinese buffet is where I want to go, right? Get my mind so set on that, and then think about me, and then all of a sudden, I don't like Chinese. Someone else doesn't like, we have to go with Pete to Fiesta, or that's where you'll find him, by the way. Right? Oh, he's awake now. There he is. But I always think of that, we'll get so mad. I was so set on that. I see that, our selfishness, our pride, really, what a weight it is, upon us, wanting to be the one that gets everything out in a way, putting ourselves above others, not thinking of others' interests, but putting our own interests way above others, and then having a big fall, having a big disappointment, right? See, I'd rather be humble first than be humiliated later, wouldn't you? I'd rather be humble first than humiliated later. And that's why Jesus says, learn from me. I'm humble, gentle, and humble at heart. And you'll find eternal rest, yes, for your souls, but even temporary rest. The Beatitudes, as we do come to him like a child and realize our need, as someone, coming to him poor in spirit, are totally aware of our need. As we do that, we don't just find eternal rest for our souls. We find temporary rest. This is the Beatitudes. They aren't blessed will be. You notice that? It says blessed are right now. Not someday far by in the sky, right? Right now, blessed are. And when Jesus calls something blessed, you better believe it's blessed. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? Because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The entire kingdom of heaven. They enter into the kingdom of heaven, the realm of heaven, the reign of God, perfect reign of God. This is the first beatitude, like I said, because it is key to opening up all the other ones. This, entering through this gate, the poor and being poor in spirit, opens wide the gate to all the others, all the other beatitudes that we reflect, or maybe you might say experience. And that's why, but it's also first because I believe to grow, right? To continue to grow in this progression, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of God, I have to get rid of pride. I have to continually see my need and God's grace. We read over and over, Paul says over and over, in almost every one of his letters, right? May you grow in the what? Grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And who are the people that get grace? The humble. Jesus said, God said that he resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble, to those that are aware of their need, and those that see that unless God comes in, God, unless you do something here, it ain't gonna work out. So we grow in that grace, and to be continue, like we don't become poor in spirit. Oh, I'm done poor in spirit. I'm gonna move on to the next one. Just stop that. No, you know, it's the first one because that's entry, and also that's how it keeps us so we can move on to the next, to grow in that grace. Yeah, I think often, you know, when we get into the kingdom, and we're in it for so long, we can tend to kind of think maybe too highly of ourselves. Maybe because I know my Bible more than somebody else, or whatever it might be, or I can spout a doctrine, or whatever it might be, or I got routines that I'm doing at church. I'm serving in different ways now. I think we can tend to think a little bit too highly of ourselves as we are in the kingdom longer. We might not say it, but we can often show it with our attitudes, the attitudes of our heart. And like I said at the beginning, you know, looking at this progression and spiritual birthdays, right? They don't tell us, like I said, they don't tell us how far we've traveled. They tell us how long we've been on the road. And I think sometimes when we're on the road for so long, we can have that tendency to think, oh, I got here all on my own. You know, I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. That's how I got here. And we totally forget about grace. But what a good reminder and refresher it is that it's all about grace. Anything I grow in, anything good thing I have is because of grace, because of the gracious heart of God. And whenever, you know, if anyone's ever struggling with, you know, pride, often we see someone and we can notice, oh yeah, they struggle with pride. You know, it's easy to detect in others, but not in ourselves. But if I was really struggling with pride, you know, I don't need a sermon on pride. That's not going to do anything. But a sermon on grace, learning that it's not about me. I didn't earn it. Grace, the unearned favor of God. We all need grace to enter in. We all need grace to enter into the kingdom of God. Oh, what good news is that, huh? And also grace to grow. And God has plenty of it. Don't let your pride stunt your growth. Don't let it keep you from growing in grace and growing in happiness as God defines it. We know that, you know, that word happiness, right? It comes from what happens, right? So oftentimes our happiness is dependent on what? Happenings. But when it comes to the kingdom, the happiness that Jesus speaks of is not dependent on what happens, right? It's dependent on God. It's dependent on his grace. And the God who never changes. So it's always available. So we are quick, we are good to humble ourselves before him and be reminded of our great need so that God can respond it and say, let me respond to that need with this grace. And may you grow in that grace every step of the way. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for your word. We have only begun to scratch the surface of your grace, God. And your grace is amazing. We say that, we sing it, and we only know a small portion of it even. But it truly is. We thank you for your grace. God, help us to be aware of our need before you. And whether it be a first time need to come to you, maybe thinking I have to clean things up to come to God. Nothing could be further than the truth. But we come to him, seeing our need, for he's the only one that can take care of that need. And as Jesus paid for our sins on the cross. And help us, God, to grow in your grace. Help us to grow in your unearned favor and see our continuous need for you and to grow and to be a shining light for your glory, and just spreading the joy of the Lord as we go. We pray in Jesus' name.